Welcome to the More Life Church podcast. We are always encouraged to know that God is working through this ministry to touch lives. So if you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know and send us an email to amen@morelifechurch.com. Now enjoy today's message.
We're going to wrap up a message series today that we have entitled The One Thing. And it's found, its basis is found, I'm just going to jump right in because we got some stuff we want to get to, in Philippians chapter 3. And here's what Paul says to the church at Philippi. He says this, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do." Everybody say one thing. "One thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." I don't know about you, but there's something about life that I've realized. Everything worthwhile in life is uphill. I recently broke the 40 barrier in my age, and growing up, I always heard 40 was over the hill, and once you got to 40, that was like the middle and over. And I just decided I was going to redefine middle age, and since I reached what used to be defined as middle age, I just pushed that back 20 years, and so over the hill for me is now going to be 60. How many of y'all are with me on that? Okay, but here's what you need to know. There is no over the hill. Life is uphill the whole way. There's no time where you like get the crest of the hill and then you can just coast. Anybody found that to be true? This is what Paul's saying. He says, "I press toward the goal. I keep going after that one thing." Last weekend was a snow day, and before I forget, I just want to say thank you to the team who behind the scenes put together what I think was an absolutely incredible snow day experience. Can you help me thank them? They put the video and audio and all that stuff together. The other people I want to thank that make today possible is our dream team. Everybody working behind the scenes, behind the cameras, behind the glass, in the sound booth, ushers, people in the parking lot, people working with our kids. Come on, y'all, make some noise for our dream team, folks. Yeah. And so we press toward this goal. And part of our church has been to define, and I mentioned last weekend's message, because we defined four components to a healthy spiritual journey. And they really consist of these four things as I see them throughout Scripture. Helping people to do four things: to connect with God, to find freedom, to grow to our potential, and to make a difference. And that's what you'll see throughout Scripture, is kind of the progressive journey that all of us should be on together, helping one another connect with God. And we do that in our Sunday morning services. And there's other opportunities, and we hope if you haven't already, you will have a moment where you connect with God. We help people grow to their potential through growth steps. We help people make a difference by getting on a dream team and serving here and around our community. But I want to define something for you before I get into the heart of today's message. One of those components for a healthy spiritual journey is to help people find freedom. And I think we do as a church, let me just talk to my church people for just a second. I think we do a good job at helping people connect with God. I think we do a good job helping people grow to their potential, especially if you've gone through growth steps. You find your gifts and your talents, your abilities. I think we do a good job of helping people know what their next step is if they want to make a difference and serve. But as we've come out of this 21 days of prayer, and as we exited 2018, one of the things that grew in my heart was a desire to help you, me, those around us to find freedom in an increased way. There are people in this room. There are people watching online. There were people here in the earlier service. There will be people here throughout the week that they're stuck. You might be that person. You're stuck in something. There is something that's got you trapped. Maybe it's physical. Maybe it's emotional. Maybe it's mental. Maybe it's spiritual. Maybe it's financial. But something's got you stuck. And I just want to be very, very clear so you know for 2019 what our one big thing is as a church. I am and we are committed in this calendar year and beyond growing in our ability to help you and those in your sphere of influence find freedom at the next level. And we're going to do that through the Word and through all kinds of incredible opportunities that we're going to make available to you. But I want you to keep that in the back of your mind. Because as we talk about some stuff today, you're going to find some freedom this morning as we talk. And I want to give you kind of a statement, a sentence that I believe is true, that I want you to own as truth for yourself. And I want you to consider this. In fact, at the very end of this first part, I'm going to give you a chance to write it down. And I want you to write it down. And I want you to keep it in front of you. And I want you to say it over your life on a regular basis, daily or weekly. Some of you might need to do it hourly or on a minute-by-minute basis to remind yourself of this truth. But I'm going to give it to you and I'm going to break it down, all right? And here's the statement that I want you to own. I'm a minister with a specific purpose at an opportune time to make an eternal difference. I'm a minister with a specific purpose. I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about you, all right? I'm a minister with a specific purpose at an opportune time to make an eternal difference. Now, I would never give you a phrase like that without being able to back it up with Scripture. Because let me just tell you, you shouldn't take anyone's word for it. If they can't back up what they're saying with God's word, you ought to just kind of put it off to the side for the time being. So I'm going to take each phrase and show you how you fit in it. Y'all ready? If you're ready, say, I'm ready. Do me a favor. Turn to the person sitting next to you and say, this is going to be good. Turn to somebody else and say, I hope that's right. Go ahead and tell them. You ready? Here we go. Step number one. I'm a minister. Say it out loud. Say, I'm a minister. Some of you didn't do it. I saw you. I don't know if you realize this or not, but just like you can see me, I can see you too. I don't know if you knew that or not, but that's the way it works. Say it one more time. Say, I'm a minister. Now, I want to kill some sacred cows on this first phrase, because I know I'm up against a tremendous momentum of church life and Christian beliefs when I say this, because some of you right now, your mind's on tilt. You're like, wait a minute. That's not me. Sir, that's you. Some of you automatically say, Josh, you're confused. You're supposed to be helping us, and you're confused, dude, because we're not the minister. You are. No. We want to see what God says about all of us. And let me just break it down for you. The word minister simply means to serve. So you really could change the sentence to, I'm a servant. Say, I'm a servant. I'm wired to serve. But watch this. I'm using minister on purpose because really the word minister means to give out, to serve. I would define it this way. A minister is one who delivers and dispenses life to the world around them. And that's what you and I, that's what we're all called to do. Look at this verse of Scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It's a foundation for all of us. You've all heard this. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new is come. How are you glad that your past is your past? Right? He says, if anyone's in Christ, a new thing has happened. The old in your life is gone. Watch this. All of this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ. How many of you have a relationship with Jesus? Let me see your hands. He's talking about you. This is what Jesus did. He reconciled us. It's an accounting term. That means he has made an account for us. He has paid it in full on our behalf. God, through Christ, bought us back from sin and made it so that we could have a direct relationship with our Father in heaven. This is what the verse is saying. So if you've had that experience that you're a new creation, if you haven't, we'll give you a chance at the end of the service and you can make a decision to put Jesus in the first place in your life. He says this, all this from God who reconciled us to himself. Us means you. Say, that's me. So he reconciled you to himself through Christ. Watch this. And he gave us, that means you. Say, that means me. He gave me, you could say it that way, the ministry of reconciliation. So watch, here's what he says. God through Christ was reconciling the world to himself. And once he did that, He gave you eternal life, but he gave you something else. He gave you the responsibility to serve the world around you, to dispense this new life to the people around you, this incredible news that is this message of reconciliation, which means this: hey, yo, you don't have to be far from God anymore. Jesus made it so that you could come close. You don't have to be distant. It's really awesome news that God made a way for everybody, all of creation, to be reunited and connected with him. That's y'all's job. You don't understand. I can tell you don't understand. Because when I said job, you thought about, oh, God, I got to work tomorrow, Josh. Thanks for the reminder. No. It's your assignment. It's our privilege. It's our honor to carry with us this life-giving message that says everything that you did in your past can be covered by the blood of a risen Savior. And your past doesn't have to haunt you anymore. And God is screaming at you, come back home. Come back home. You can be reconciled with a God who loves you and has never changed his mind about you. That's y'all's assignment. That's our assignment together. Watch, and he goes on, he says this: that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. Let that sink in, because just a couple people who were honest about their sin nature got excited about it. Like when I see that God's promises, once I ask for forgiveness, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's really good news for a scoundrel like me, because I've done some bad stuff. And when he says that he's not counting my sins against me anymore, that's worth getting pumped up about, because I am a messed up, flawed human being that has done some stuff. I thought the 9 a.m. crowd was the holy one. Today it must be the 11 a.m. because you're all like, I don't even know what sin, what does that even mean? I've never done anything. Some of y'all sinned before you got out of the house this morning. Some of y'all sinned trying to clear a path out of the sidewalk. Like somebody slipped and bust their head and they were calling out for Jesus in a way that wasn't really church appropriate. Right? Like, but this says this. Like, I don't think we really understand, because we kind of get in. Let me just talk to somebody online, maybe. Share this online. Maybe somebody there needs it. I don't know. But like I think you get into Christ and you forget that you used to be and still are without Jesus really messed up. How many know at least one person that's messed up? How many are sitting next to him? Yeah, okay, that's what I thought. Watch this. So just pause and say, he's not counting my sins against me. That's really good news. And part of what it means to be a Christ follower is to be more like him today than we were yesterday. So here's what I want to submit to you. If he's not counting people's sins against them, we shouldn't either. If they've asked for forgiveness and given it to God, and he's thrown it in the sea of forgetfulness, like he has forgotten it. The Bible says that when we bring our sins to him, he can remember our sins and our iniquities no more. When you try to bring up your past to God and say, hey, God, remember when this was going on in my life? Do you know why you don't hear anything back? Because he doesn't remember you did it. But the problem with humanity is we remember. And we don't do this part. So what that means is, if you're married and your spouse messed up and you gave them forgiveness, the next time you get into an argument, you're not allowed to say, hey, you dirty dog, remember that thing you did 2 weeks ago? Like, you can't do that, because this says we're not supposed to. Oh, y'all went to sleep on me on that one. You're like, oh, you just totally disarmed me, Josh. Like, that's my weapon. That's what I use. I tell them, like, oh, no, I can't believe you did that. That means when your kids mess up and disappoint you, and you forgive them, and they move forward, and when they mess up again, I said when they mess up again, because some of y'all are looking at your kids like they're never going to mess up. You just should be glad they're not as bad as you were when you were their age. I see my kids do stuff and I'm like, oh, that's not good, but I did worse than that. How many want to hear a story about that? No. This works both ways. You have to entice me a little bit to tell you stories. Not counting people's sins against them, I'll tell you. I was a freshman in high school, and there was a girl that I liked, and I wanted to get her something nice. It wasn't this girl. It was a different girl. And so I wanted to get this girl something nice, but I was a freshman in high school, and I had no money. I mean, like, I'm not a freshman in high school, and I still ain't got no money, right? So I didn't have any money, and so I was at my grandparents' house. My grandparents are immigrants to this country from Italy, and my grandmother came here after my grandfather with my uncle, my mom, and my aunt. And my Uncle Tony had a safe in his bedroom that I knew about. It was locked, but I was determined. And I sat up there all day in the upstairs of an old two-story house with no air conditioning, trying to figure out the combination of that lock. And I started, it had four numbers, and I put them all to zero. And I did 0001, and it didn't open. 0002, and it didn't open. 0003, I did all the numbers I could get until I could get it open. And I finally got it opened. And there was a bunch of money in it. And I thought, he won't miss 100. So I took 100. I'm going to go. I was a freshman. It wasn't yesterday, y'all. Like, don't count my. Like, I just said, don't count it against me. Like, we just read the verse. Dear Lord. Save us from your followers, Lord. Dear Lord Jesus. And so I got the money. I went and bought a bracelet. Long story short, my mom found out and called my uncle. He lived 2 hours away. He showed up at my front door. Knocked on the door, didn't say hi to nobody, and he said, Josh, get in the car, we going for a ride. Did I mention we're Italian? I thought my Uncle Tony was going to introduce me to a cousin Guido I didn't know about, and I thought I was done. I didn't have any phone to text with. I thought I was dead. Like, I thought I just wasn't coming back, and like, I want, Mom, help me, you know, like, and he had a talking with me. And I had to make it right, and so on and so forth. Listen, we all have a past. But here's the amazing thing, that when we give those things to God, he doesn't remember that I did that anymore. He doesn't remember because it's been given to him, it's been forgiven, and as we used to say in the olden days, it's up under the blood. I would just encourage you that if you got some things in your life that you're not satisfied with, that you know God isn't happy with, just get them under the blood. Just get forgiveness. Just give them to God. Watch, I'm going to get back to this point. I'm a minister, and watch all this, and he has committed to us to say, that means me. The message of reconciliation. That means you take up your past. You take up all the stuff that you used to do. And with the grace that God has given you, you receive that grace and you pass it on to others. And you serve the world around you. I am a minister with a specific purpose. Everybody say, with a specific purpose. I'm going to move quickly. Look at this verse in Ephesians chapter 1. All things are done according to God's plan and decision. And God chose us to be his own people in union with Christ because of his own purpose, based on what he had decided from the very beginning. From the very beginning, God had an idea about your life, and he hasn't let go of that idea for your life. He hasn't let go of that idea for my life. You have a specific purpose, and at an opportune time. I don't know about you, but I'm happy to be alive in this moment in time in history. I think it's the most exciting time to ever be alive. I've done some daydreaming about this, and I've thought about different eras. I just don't think I would have made it in America in the 1800s as a cowboy. I just don't think I'd have made it. I like climate-controlled buildings too much. I like baths and showers. I like being able to go to the grocery store and pick out a steak and not have to go find it and then kill it and then skin it and then cook it. If I grew up in the 1800s, I don't think I'd have made it past 12. I'll be honest with you. I'd have been a lot skinnier than I am right now. That's true. That's a fact. I like, this is an opportune time for us. And look at this verse. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. Why? Because the days are evil. It's an opportune time. Everybody say, an opportune time. There's an opportunity in front of you. I promise you, there's an opportunity in front of you. Look at this last part of it. Why, though? For a purpose, to make an eternal difference. Not a momentary difference. Not a difference that lasts this generation and the next. That's awesome. But to do something that has an impact for eternity. Not temporary, but eternity. Look at this verse in Colossians chapter 3. Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above. Get your eyes off the stuff down here on earth, he says. That stuff's all going to burn up and fade away. Set your hearts on things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. If you're going to be a person that makes an eternal impact and that makes an eternal difference, you're going to have to think more about eternal things than you think about earthly things. Now, that's a challenge for us. Because everything in our world conditions us to think about the here and the now. But when you pause and realize, oh, wait a minute. What I do here is going to last forever. You'll find a shift in your purpose. You'll find a shift in your passion. You'll find a shift in what you prioritize when you realize that this thing over here that I've been getting all my energy and all my calories and all my time and all my attention, all that stuff may or may not make it till the end of my life. But this over here, if I do this instead with my energy, if I do this instead with my resources, if I do this instead with my talents and abilities and time, this isn't just going to fade away. This is going to last forever. Like, I've been thinking about this quite a lot. So we have four teenagers, and we have five vehicles that are on our insurance policy. Oh, help him, Jesus. And cars, I don't know if you know this about cars, they break down. Have you found that to be true? Even the best ones. Eventually, they break down. And then you use your energy to take that thing to the shop and pay somebody money for something you don't even understand the language they're speaking to you. And they could tell me anything. I don't know what they're talking about. You got some here, it's $85,000. What? The car was $150. Like, I don't get it. Right? And so you burn up all that energy and all that calorie for something that's literally going to end up in a junkyard. As nice as it is, someday it's going to be a tiny cube of metal in somebody's yard. Right? And how much stress and how much energy and how many arguments and how much resources are put towards something that's going to be, boom, gone. Is there anything wrong with that stuff? No. Here's the challenge. Think more about eternity than you do about the temporary. Give it thought. Give it energy. Give it prayer. Give it your best shot. So how then do we take this and narrow it down to the one thing? Let me give you the sentence. You might want to screenshot it. You might want to write it down. I am a minister with a specific purpose at an opportune time to make an eternal difference. How many of you believe that? OK, Can we say it out? Can we read it out loud together? Come on, ready, read. I am a minister with a specific purpose at an opportune time to make an eternal difference. So how do I find that one thing? How do I get to this one thing like Paul talked about? I have to read a scripture to you that tells you how I got there, because that's all I have is my story to tell you how to get there. And if you pay close attention, you'll be closer today than you were yesterday. In Ephesians chapter 4 is an incredible verse of scripture, verses 11 through 12. It says, now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. How many of y'all like gifts? Christ has a gift to the church, and here's what he says those five gifts are. The apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. I don't have time to get into it, but those are all still present and functioning in the church today. They are all present. And here's what he says. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. So here's what he says. Back to that I am a minister and kind of killing that sacred cow. When someone says, maybe you're thinking, Josh, that's you. No. Yes, I am. Just like you, I have a specific purpose. And of these gifts, of which I happen to be one of to you, here's my assignment. My assignment is to help you find your assignment and go do it. My job is to help you find out who you are in God and then get out of your way and say, go for it. Like to help you, to equip you, and to build you up. Not beat you down, beat you up. Not beat you up, build you up. I got that mixed up. It's so easy to do, right? Not to beat you down, but to build you up. Right? To encourage you. To make it so that when you leave here, because God got involved, you feel like you can conquer whatever's going to be thrown at you tomorrow and the day after and the day after. Because here's what I promise you. When you leave out of here, you're going to face a wall. You're going to be up against a wall. Chill, it's not a political statement. I mean, it's just a barrier. You know what I'm saying? So you're like, what? No, like a physical barrier. And here's what my assignment is. My assignment is to equip you and encourage you and build you and make you so strong on the inside that even if you face a wall, you say, that wall's nothing for God. I'm just gonna, if I can't get over it, if I can't get under it, if I can't get around it, I'm just gonna barrel right on through it. I'm just gonna leave a hole in that thing and make a way for somebody else to follow behind me. Like, that's my assignment. But so many times in church, people think, no, Josh, that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to reach out to these people. And No. The scripture says it's my assignment to help you do your assignment because there are people in your sphere of influence that I'll never reach. So let me give you these three things, and I'm going to get out of your way. Actually, I'm not. We're gonna do something different at the end that I'm really excited about. So how did this work for me? Because these gifts at different times have come into my life and helped me take forward steps. Here's the first one. How do you find your one thing? By identifying your gifts and your passions. Now, if you say, I don't know how to do that, growth steps will help you do that. If you're watching online, if you're in this room, and you've never went through growth steps, I strongly encourage you, if you want to find them, go through growth steps. You will be able to find those gifts. I'll help you. We'll help you. The team will help you. If you don't find these gifts, I promise you this, you're going to live frustrated. Because when we don't have an opportunity to live out of our gifts and our passions, frustration builds up on the inside of us. Look at this verse of scripture in Romans chapter 12. We have different gifts. Everybody say different. Turn to the person next to you and say, you're different. Turn to somebody else and say, I've been thinking that for a long time. I'm glad he let me say it. So we have different gifts. According to the grace given to each of us, if your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If the gift is giving, then give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Here's what he's saying. find your gift and live out of it. I have permission to live out of that gift. So when you find it, then here's the simple instruction. Just do something with it. If your gift is to give, then give. If your gift is to show mercy, then show mercy. If your gift is to teach, then teach. Pretty simple, isn't it? Here's where it gets messy. People who don't know their gift and try to live out of every gift that the human heart needs. And that will lead to frustration. Because can I tell you something? As wonderfully talented and as wonderfully gifted as each one of you are, no one person has all the gifts. In other words, God made it so that we need each other and we need the body to work together to get the full complement of everything that He's provided. And people get frustrated because they think one person can give them everything that they need. On this page, let me just show you two that I like to live out of, that are gifts that have shown up in real life for me. You ready? So one of mine is to lead. Like, the gift of leadership happens to be something that God has graced me with. Now, on the contrary, showing mercy is something I haven't been very well equipped with. So I don't show mercy very well. So if you come to me and you say, Josh, this is really going on in my life, I'll do my best to be compassionate. But can I tell you, my compassion is going to be so, so much smaller than someone who has a gift. Because after about 30 seconds of counseling with me, I've already navigated all of your problems and figured out what you need to do. And my approach would be in counseling, hey, you need to do 1, 2, 3, suck it up, buttercup, get out of my office and go do something. Like, that's not great, but that's just like how it works for me. Like, the person who needs someone to kumbaya with them and be holding their hands and going through Kleenex, I'm like, hey, go use your own Kleenex. Those cost money. You know what I'm talking about? Like, I know it's terrible, but here's the point. I don't live under any illusion that I have to have every gift, talent, and ability that you need. Let me say that again. I don't live under the illusion, nor do I live with the pressure, that I am required to have every gift, talent, and ability that you need. If you think the pastor, the leader, any one person, the minister is going to have everything you need, what you've just done is you've made them Jesus and you've set yourself up for an incredible disappointment. Because I and you, none of us have it all. That's why we need one another. That's why you need to find your gift. That's why you need to find your passion. That's why you need to go through growth steps, because someone needs what God has placed on the inside of you. Are y'all listening to me? Come on. Let me give you the second one. My life experience. Now, we don't choose these. They choose us. The gifts and passions, they're in us. People can help us identify them. But these life experiences, these are the things that come into our world. And can I just tell you, there's things that I've walked through that if I was writing my personal story, I would have left that chapter out. There are certain things I would have left out. I would have personally left out the heart attack at 35. Like, I'd have written that out. I probably would, if you write it out, you got to replace it with something. I probably would have replaced it with winning the Powerball that was like $400 million. Like, I would have replaced it with that. Anybody with me on that? Like, but we don't choose that, do we? So what do you do with those life experiences? What do you do with those things? Somebody you're watching online, you don't like the life experience that you've been given. Maybe you're from a home that was broken. Maybe you never knew a parent. Maybe your parents were divorced when you were young, like mine. And we were a part of a blended family before anybody had the term blended family. And we were navigating it. It all shapes and molds our lives. Look at this verse. It says this. So here's what I want you to do. You take all that life experience. We'd be all day hearing your story and in mine. But you all, everyone in here, you have a story. And God wants to use that. Watch what he says. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you, take your everyday, ordinary life. How many of y'all have an ordinary life? You're sleeping, you're eating, you're going to work, and you're walking around. That's pretty much sums up a lot of my days. Take all that stuff and place it before God as an offering. And watch this. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. What do you do with that life experience? You say, God, this is my world. Take it. Use it. This is my best gift to you. This is the verse that talks about how we are a living sacrifice in the King James. That we lay our life down. You know what the problem is with a living sacrifice? It wants to crawl off the altar. It wants to squirm off. The last one. I'm going to close with this. And we're going to do something a little bit different. Because I'm almost out of time. The last one that's a part of us defining this is my pain. I don't want to talk to you about this. But I have to. Your gifts and your passions are given to you by God. Your life experiences, God says, whatever's going on in your life experience, give that back to me. For many of us, our life experiences have created pain. The loss of a loved one. Way, way, way too early. Life throws you a curveball and you're not where you thought you would be at this age. You made a decision that you thought was the right one. And there's been an avalanche of pain following that decision ever since. What do you do with it? A lot of people spend time pursuing the question of why. Why? And I think it's a natural inclination for all of us to say, why did that happen? Can I submit something to you on this idea of pain? Even if you were to get an answer to the why question, the pain is not resolved because you know why. I lost my mom much earlier than I would have written in my story. And I never want to be a broken record, but it's my life experience. It's what I have. Let's just say for the sake of argument, Jesus came and visited me in my prayer time. And he came and he visited me. He sat down with me. And he told me exactly why my mom died young. At the end of that conversation, and Jesus goes back to heaven, do you know what I still have to deal with? Pain. I'm not saying it's wrong to pursue the why. I'm saying don't make the why God in your life. Because once you know the why, you still have things in your world that you have to deal with that I have to deal with. You still have pain, conflict, tension, discomfort. You still have that stuff. So what's the answer? There's so much about this that I don't understand, but this next verse, this last verse, helps me. And it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. Watch. He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. It doesn't say that God sent the situation. It says that God will use the situation that you've walked through so that you can then comfort others. Can I just make a suggestion to you in a world that very much internalizes everything? Consider for just a moment that your pain is not only about you. Consider for just a moment that your pain is for others. For others to be comforted because you've walked a little bit ahead of them. And so you take the comfort that God has given you and you receive that comfort and you pass on what you can to others. He goes on and he says this, when people are troubled, when they're troubled, we'll be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. So you take that. Nobody likes it. We want to wish it and pray it away. And we don't want any more of it. We're not suggesting that you ask for mounds and mounds of pain as some kind of spiritual payment that you must carry. It's just a part of our fallen world that pain comes into our life, and God gives us a solution out of that pain to use what we have learned to comfort others. You want to find what your one thing is? Find your gifts and your passion. Weave it in with your life experience. Connect it with your pain and make a determination. I'm not going to waste any of this pain. If I had to go through it, since I went through it, somebody might as well benefit from it. I'm not going to be the only one that makes this decision that I want this pain to matter. I want this pain to count for someone else. So here's what we're going to do. I want you to connect with me online. I'm going to ask everybody to do this. Wednesday night as we were praying, we had a breakthrough moment, and we're going to do something together. I want to put some action steps in front of you, but we're going to finish by just giving God a minute or more to connect with us. So do your best to minimize distractions. Do your best to lean in. As we were praying on Wednesday night, God came and visited with us in an amazing way, and I came to a realization of something. That you can program and organize God right out of a church service. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You can have an order of a service that's so strict and so tight that you do all the elements that you know to do, and you forget to create a moment, or to allow a moment rather, for God to create something in us. Like for us to now, having received His Word, now respond back to Him and let Him connect with us. And so that's what we're going to do. I want to put a couple thoughts out there for you to think about. What's my action step? Where do I go from here as we're kind of in this moment? Really quick, there's a prayer card in the seat back of the chair in front of you. I'm going to ask everybody, tell me about something good that God has done in your life. I want to know. Write something good on that prayer card. Make it a praise card for today. Tell me something good that God has done in your life. The second thing I want you to think about as an action step is saying yes to growth steps. While we're in this moment, just think about that. The third one that I didn't put on screen that I'm just going to move on quickly is think about the next portion of the service, which is your generosity. Like, what is it that God wants each of us to do in generosity? Just put that before Him. And I'm just going to be really honest with you. The last The last 2 weeks, no church and weather. We came up short in the budget. We have money in reserve, so it's not like a major issue, but it needs to be made up. And sometimes I've faltered on sharing that with you because I don't like to come across as needy. I think I don't. Neediness gives me the heebie-jeebies. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to. But here's what we all should understand. This isn't Josh's church any more than it's your church. And so whatever you have in your heart to do, why do I say that? Because when that happens and generosity doesn't occur freely and free-flowingly, it prevents us from taking steps that we want to do. And so there's no pressure on your life. That's all I'm going to say about it. But I want you to think about those things. And we're not going to be in a rush. All right? It's just barely now we've been in service, just barely an hour. All right? So Daniel's going to play. And I just want you all to bow your heads and close your eyes. And let's take some time. Nobody moving around if you don't have to. Service isn't over yet. Just take some time and focus on Him and let His word from Scripture sink in to your heart. And let's just give Him space and give this moment an opportunity to breathe.
Turning lives around, and worship you. You are here, mending every heart that worship you, that worship you. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Oh, Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keep, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You're Waymaker, Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keep, light in the darkness,
to him. We're going to sing this again, but this is your action step. This is your time for God to get involved. I'm believing God right now that people who have physical needs, emotional healing that needs to occur, just lift a hand or two to him and say, God, I'm ready to receive all that you have for my life, because he is a way maker. He is a miracle worker. He's a promise keeper. Come on, somebody. He is the light in the darkness. He is a good, good God. Come on, somebody. Like, he is, he's still got the stuff. Like, don't just stay reserved. Just lean in and let God do what it is that he wants to do as we sing this one more time. Come on, Daniel. Let's bring it.
So that is who you are. Light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. 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 Don't feel you, you're working. Even when I don't see you, you're working. You're the way, you're the way maker. You're the way, you're the way maker. Even when I don't feel you, you're working. Even when I don't see you working. You're the way, you're the way maker. You're the way, you're the way maker. Even when I don't feel you, you're working. When I don't see you, you're working. You're the way, you're the way maker. You're the way, you're the way maker. Way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. That is who you are. That is who you are. That is who
you are.
That is who you are.
Joel, bow your heads and close your eyes with me. God, you make a way when there seems to be no way. You shine a light in our darkness. Father, I just ask you right now, anyone in this place, they're far from you, draw them near right now by your presence and by your spirit. With heads bowed and eyes closed, you say, Josh, I don't have a relationship with Jesus, or my relationship with him is not what it ought to be, and I want to come close today. Today's my day. If that's you, I'm not going to invite you down front. I just want to, with an uplifted hand, I just want to see who you are. If that's you, you say, Josh, I don't have a relationship with him, or I have a relationship with him, but it's not what it ought to be. I need to make a change today. If that's you, just right now, throw your hand right up where it is. Thank you. I see you. Thank you. I see you in the back. Thank you. Thank you. I see you both back there. Come on, anybody else? Say, Josh, that's me. That's me. I need to make a change today. I need to put him as first place in my life. I've been first. He needs to be first. Okay, I see you, buddy, in the back. Good for you. Yes, ma'am, I see you over there. You say yes online. We'll help you online too. Somebody will get with you and help you. Anybody else? Say, yeah, that's me. Thank you, brother. I see you. Good for you. Anybody else join these half a dozen or more or so? Anybody else? Real quick. How about this? You say, Josh, I'm hurting. I've got pain from my past. And I need right now to have a moment where, well, I just had a moment with him, but I just need to give it to him the rest of the way. If that's you, just throw your hand up wherever you are and say, that's me. I need to give that to God. Right now, go ahead and do it. Go ahead and do it. Nobody's looking around. Just give that to him. Father, we just thank you for your mercy, your healing power in this place. That people are leaving healed and whole and strong. Not because of the preaching of a man, but by the demonstration of your spirit and your power, so that our faith would stand in the power of God. I'm going to ask you all to pray this out loud with me, with those many who are praying it maybe for the first time to follow Jesus. If you made that decision online, pray this out loud with me. Everybody in the room, say this. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your Son. Thank you that he died for me. Thank you that he was raised from the dead. I believe in my heart and I say with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. I turn from my sin and I turn to your Son, and I'll follow him all the days of my life. It's in his matchless name I pray. Amen. Come on, help me celebrate with those who made a decision.
Thank you for joining us today. We pray that you have been blessed through the teaching of God's Word. This resource is generously supported by More Life Church and listeners like you. We would like to give you the opportunity to partner with us to impact the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. To give or to learn more about More Life Church, visit our website at morelifechurch.com.